Everyone is looking for love. And they're desperate to find it. We must show them love. We must introduce them to love, to Jesus. To Jesus, for this is true revival. Love is all they need, everlasting love. Rise up and go and show them love, revival love, supernatural love. Jesus is love.
We are living in exciting days, days of great harvest and outpouring. And yet, at the same time, we face great resistance and opposition to biblical values and morals. Jesus said that in the last days, lawlessness will increase and people's love will grow cold. Paul said people will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. In such a day, how should we then live? How do we respond when our faith and our love are under fire? Today's message is an important one. Today, you might discover who and what you are pledging your allegiance to.
And in Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40, the disciples said, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." And in John 13, 35, Jesus said, "By this shall men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." And so we're marked by love. We're saved by love. We're delivered by love. We're marked by love. We're commissioned by love. But what does love look like when your faith is under fire and when your love is under fire? What does it look like when things are so contrary to what you believe? There is something happening in this hour that if we do not have our eyes open to, we will be boiled alive in a deception. There is a spirit of humanism, and I'm not one, you know, most of you know me, I'm not one to preach, you know, a lot of negative things or things that would breed fear. I like to breed faith, but at the same time, there is a place for a prophetic trumpet to be blown, because if we are hearing from the Lord a warning and we do not trumpet that warning, then if people die because they were not warned, that blood is on our hands. And we are in a day and an hour, especially in the Western nations, especially in the Western church, where we are already in a very compromised situation. We want to be able to decree that the church is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus and that we're manifesting His glory. But the truth is that if we are not alert in this hour, we will eat and drink a poison that will destroy faith, that will destroy the presentation of Jesus Christ, and will bring us into a place in our nations where we totally lose our saltiness, we totally lose our authority because of compromise. It is not a spirit of communism that is going to be our greatest enemy in this hour. It's not going to be the spirit of Islam. Although the mindsets of those forms of religion and philosophy, they are treacherous, of course. But that's not the church's greatest enemy in this hour. Your greatest enemy will be the spirit of humanism. John, in the book of Revelation, as he was receiving insight from the Lord, he talked about a beast that would emerge. He talked about the spirit of the Antichrist, and we all know about that, and I don't believe that we're to live in fear of that, because we're kingdom people. We live in the rule, the reign, the glory of the King, no matter how dark it gets in the earth. But we have to examine ourselves, the scripture says, to see if we are in that faith, if we are living in that realm. And he said that here is the number of it. It is the number of a man, and it's 666. Six is the number of man, and it's the trinity of six. Man trying to be God. And what we're seeing in this day and hour is that even within the church, that there are leaders in the church taking the word and twisting it to say what it doesn't say. It's saying, well, we've got to be relative today, and this is going on, and this is going on, so we'll just change the word to make it work for how we feel. And we're abandoning the integrity of the word of God for the sake of how we're feeling, of how we sense emotionally, or because we know people that are living in this situation or that situation, because we have compassion for them. It doesn't matter about the law of God. It doesn't matter about the word of God. It's just that, you know, I feel this way, so let it be that way. And we are coming into a day and an hour where lawlessness is increasing. And what really jarred my attention towards this was a few weeks ago or a couple weeks back, I was praying for a bill. We had a bill on the table here in Arizona, which actually got passed. It was a religious freedom bill. And it was simply a bill that was supporting the Constitution. You know, we have freedom of religion. We're supposed to have freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of speech. These are all constitutional issues within this nation. And so the religious freedom bill was actually simply establishing that as believers of a certain faith, that we would have the freedom, if something violated our religious beliefs, that we wouldn't have to embrace it. It was simply that. But it was made into, you know, an anti-gay agenda by the public. And all the world began to think it was like these mean, terrible Christians that are not wanting to serve an individual in a gay lifestyle in a restaurant. You know, that's what they were saying. You know, a gay person would go into a restaurant and they would be denied their coffee because they're gay. And it wasn't about that at all. Right now, there's certain businesses, for example, a media company that is Christian-owned, a business that is Christian-owned, that has Christian values. Let's say that they are, you know, hosting, you know, different ministries and that. If a Muslim were to go to them right now and say, we want to be on your channel, give us a channel, we could not legally deny them on the basis of their religion, or it could be called discriminatory. If a gay church wanted to advertise on a network such as that was Christian owned, or have a channel on that network, they would, if the owner, because of their Christian beliefs, were to say, no, we're going to deny you access as a host on this channel because it's against our religious beliefs, we could be sued for that. The way it is right now, we could be sued for that. So the freedom of religion bill that was passed in our state was just giving the freedom to be able to draw some boundaries to support your Christian beliefs. It was passed. But an aggressive anti-gay agenda was promoted, saying, you know, this is discriminatory, they're anti-gay, this whole bill is just all against homosexuals. It had nothing to do with that, not specifically. It was just a freedom issue. And because of that, the bill got vetoed. And in the process, before it was vetoed, I went and put a Facebook post up, and I said, let's pray for Governor Brewer. She's going to need prayer because she's being challenged to veto this bill. So let's pray. Thinking, you know, like my Facebook friends are all Christians. And so let's all pray for the governor. Well, I was shocked at how many comments, very, very strong comments. In fact, it got to be an actual war on the Facebook page between believers. And again, it became a gay issue. It was all about the gay community and what they should be allowed to do. And they should be allowed to be married. And they should be allowed to live. And they should be allowed to have their sex. And they should be allowed that. And we shouldn't hate them or despise them or stop them. And it just became really messy. The dialogue was messy. And there was hatred inside of it on both sides, back and forth. And I was shocked. And I was trying to monitor it. And as I was trying to monitor it, I was even more shocked because in trying to bring peace and clarity, you know, the guns started being shooted at me from different directions. I thought, this is very, very interesting. What is this? And God said, this is that. This is the spirit of humanism that is already at work within the church, that already there are Christian leaders in churches already changing their interpretation of the word to fit what their emotions say. Now, just on that one issue, I just want to make it really, really clear that I love homosexuals. I love them. And I actually feel for what many of them struggle with because I've sat down And I've been in session after session with friends who have shared their heart, their struggles, the pain of it, the shame of it, everything that goes, the confusion that goes with it. I've been overseas and worked, you know, with the transgender communities and, you know, homosexual prostitutes and that. I've been there and I love them. I love them and I've proven my love in more ways than you could know. And so it's not an issue of whether I love them or not, but for everyone, I've been truthful. I've been truthful with them. I remember who's now a friend, but at the time, we were just getting acquainted, and he said to me, "Why do you Christians hate us? Why do you hate us?" And I said, "We don't hate you. Why do you think that we hate you? Well, you're against our lifestyle." And I said, "Why do you think we would be against your lifestyle? Why do you think?" And, you know, he gave me a few responses. And I said, "You know, I am so sorry for any Christian who has demonstrated hate or anger or has come at you in a wrong way." And I was in tears as I was sharing this with him. And I said, "But you need to know that I, for one, don't hate you, and most Christians would not hate you. We love you. But I can't stand back and watch you step into something that's going to hurt you. Because if I really love you, I'm going to try to keep you from doing something that will destroy you." And recently, as I was pondering that, I thought it would be like sitting across from someone at a table, telling them that you love them. "Oh, I love you. I know you're drinking poison right now. I know that glass in front of you that's full of water, there's poison inside that water. I'm watching you drink it, but you know what? I love you. Not a problem. I totally accept that. Drink the poison. I totally accept that poison. I accept that you want to drink it. Just go right ahead, and I'll stand here and just watch you and cheer you on in the midst of it." You know, when you put it in a context like that, you're not going to sit back for someone that you would love, really love, even someone that you would hate. You probably wouldn't stand back and cheer them on as you watch them kill themselves. And so I told this individual back then, I said, "You know, God, He is the creator of our bodies. He created us. And He gave us a handbook, the manufacturer's handbook. And in this book, you will find how to look after this body, how to look after your soul, how to look after your spirit. Everything that you need to know about life and godliness is inside of here. And it's been proven, by the way. Sociology sociology studies have been done to prove that living by the word, by the principles of the word, is one of the most fruitful ways to live. It has been proven over centuries. And so I said, if you violate the use of your body, you're going to destroy yourself. If you violate the use of your soul, you can destroy yourself. And I can't sit back and watch you do that. I love you too much. He said, I've never heard anyone put it that way before. I've never thought of it like that. Now, right now, that friend of mine, he is now a Christian. He is serving the Lord. And he's celibate. He came out of a gay lifestyle. He's celibate. He's still working through some things. You know, but he's walking with God. He's walking with God. And you know, sometimes a person's freedom is a process, and love will walk them through that process. And we need to be there. We need to be patient in the process and disciple in that process and just keep leading them into the heart and the mind of Jesus Christ. But if we are not sure of what we believe, we will breed confusion instead of freedom in the world. You understand that? If I'm confused about the word says, what the word says about homosexuality or adultery or fornication or, you know, necromancy or anything that the Bible has to say, if you're confused about it, then you will just go with whatever feels good. You'll do with whatever you think works. You'll make that your law. And that is the basis of humanism. That is the beast. That is the spirit that is trying to take its place. The man of lawlessness that it talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. It talks about the man of lawlessness taking his seat within the temple. The spirit of humanness, the man of lawlessness, making whatever you want the word to say, you just twist it to make it say it. And so on the Facebook that particular night, someone said, you know, well, actually a number of people said this. They used this description. They said, well, if you don't want gays to be married, well, then there shouldn't be interracial marriages. And, you know, it's got nothing to, those are like apples and oranges. They're two different things. You know, you can't compare them because the Bible celebrates the nations. The Bible celebrates, you know, our skin colors, our ethnos. It celebrates that. But clearly in the Old Testament and the New Testament, very clearly, numerous times, over and over, more than two or three witnesses, it describes sexual sin and says sexual sin will hurt you. And amongst the sexual sin is the sin of homosexuality. You have to call it for what it is. Homosexual acts are sinful acts in the same way that fornication is, or, you know, adultery, having sexual relations with someone who is not your spouse. You know, these things are clear within the Bible. Incest, it's clear within the Bible. You can't confuse it. You can't say, oh, well, you know, they need to be happy, because it's not going to end up in any happiness, not for anyone. And so how do we love when our love is under fire? How do you love when you know the truth says one thing, but all of society is saying another? Or how about this, when all the church is saying another? When church leaders are saying something different from the word of God, what do? Just twist it to say, well, whatever. There are warnings in the New Testament. You don't even have to read the Old Testament if you don't want to. Just read the New Testament. And there are warnings about lifestyle. There are warnings about sexual sin, about drunkenness, about, you know, party spirits, and about the worldly minded, you know, mindsets. There's warnings about that. Why? Because those things will hurt us. And so as Christians, and especially Christian leaders, we need to set an example. I cried out to the Lord years ago, and I said, oh Lord, let there be a grace on my life so that if anyone were to follow me, anyone were to follow me, that they would not be led into sin, but that they would be led into righteousness. Let no example that I would leave for anyone to demonstrate before anyone cause anyone to be tripped up, to stumble or fall. Let there be no conduct in my life. Let there be no lowering of the bar that would cause even anyone to be hooked into something that would cause them to fall. But let them look at my life and say, if I follow them, I will follow the Lord. If I follow them, I will find Jesus. If I follow them, I will see how Jesus walked. And I think that that should be our goal. How does he walk? How do we walk? Because your life is being watched. I've seen so many young people fall. This is sad to say, but I'm just going to say it. I can tell you story after story after story of young people who have fallen because they were looking at the model of leaders who were living in party spirits and whatever, just loose morals. And they thought, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And they got trapped in it just because of model. And this is a day when, if we're really going to love, what does love look like? What does love look like when you adhere to the standard of the Word of God and all your friends are saying, oh, you believe that? Oh, you're going to restrict yourself from doing this? Well, you're just religious. Have you heard that one? What? You don't believe in gay marriage, you're just religious. What? You don't believe in going out to a party and getting drunk, you're just religious. We're getting so convoluted. And I see it everywhere I go. I see it in churches all around the country, in many, many nations. I see a spirit of compromise that is based on a humanistic mindset that just says, I'm going to make this work to be okay because I want to do it. I'm going to make the word say what I want it to say because my emotions are dictating it. And because if I can twist it to make it say what I want to say, then I'll feel okay about what I'm doing. But at the end of the day, the fruit of that will be destruction. But God says he has a remnant. God says he always has a remnant who will walk with him. Even in the dark ages, there was a remnant, you know? And if you're watching by the internet or by God TV, I just want to invite you also to just examine your heart, for all of us to just look at our hearts, because I know in this room, I feel so much love for God in this place. I feel so much love for God. I see it on your faces. I see it when you worship. I see it when I chat with you in the halls and in the book table room and stuff like that. It's like you're just like the cream of the crop, lovers for Jesus Christ. And you, with your love, with your intense passion for him, can actually create a love illusion in the world around you. Love for him, if you'll take that stand. And I believe that there is an anointing that is going to come upon many of you today. An anointing of love, a smearing of love oil, that is going to enable you to walk with him, for him, in him, through him, like never before. And in everything that you do, you'll say, what would Jesus do? What does Jesus say? Because whatever he would do, whatever he says, whatever would be the highest good for the sake of another, that is how I'm going to live my life, because my life will be a fragrance of love no matter what fire it comes under. Amen.
It's happened before. Revival fires fell. The presence of Almighty God swept over the earth and released massive waves of miracles, healings, signs, and wonders, setting hearts on fire.
The Lord thy God has set thee free. The glory be to God.
This is an hour of restoration.
Among the Catholics, the Protestants.
Hallelujah. Let the glory of thy presence be felt.
This great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I believe the word of God.
Thousands of hands in the temple have been healed.
It is happening again. 22 speakers unite at the historic Angelus Temple to relight the revival fires. and release an atmosphere of miracles, signs, and wonders. It's time for you to arise and be a woman on the front lines.
A great harvest of souls is being reaped, even as you are watching this program. And we at XP Ministries are committed to equipping workers for the great harvest that lies before us. We are committed to preaching Christ's gospel of grace and trumpeting His glorious righteousness. This is not a day to compromise biblical values. It is rather a day to pledge allegiance to the Lamb, and to walk in obedience to His word, His will, and His ways. I want to ask you to partner with me to proclaim Christ's glorious salvation in this hour, to raise the bar for His values and His morals, to stand for righteousness. Will you help me trumpet the call? Will you help me equip the body for this end? Will you partner with me to annihilate things like modern-day slavery in this day? In this hour where darkness covers the earth and gross darkness the peoples, together we will follow the Lamb with uncompromised faith and trusted character. Thank you for partnering with us to advance His kingdom in this day.
It's happened before. Revival fires fell. The presence of Almighty God swept over the earth and released massive waves of miracles, healings, signs, and wonders, setting hearts on fire.
The Lord thy God has set thee free. The glory be to God.
This is an hour of restoration
among the Catholics, the Protestants.
Let the glory of thy presence be felt.
This great outpouring of the Holy Ghost, I believe the word of God.
Thousands of angelic samples have been healed.
It is happening again. 22 speakers unite at the historic Angelus Temple to relight the revival fires and release an atmosphere of miracles, signs, and wonders. It's time for you to arise and be a woman on the front lines.